Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for this day. This day that we set aside to come into your presence like this as a group to worship you. I thank you for the people that are here today. I thank you for the churches all over our communities. I pray that your Spirit would guide every one of us. I thank you, Father, for the freedoms that we enjoy in America. I thank you for living in this greatest nation on earth. Thank you for blessing us, Father, over the centuries that we have been a nation. You have protected us and you have watched over us. You have blessed us. You have been so good. Forgive us, Heavenly Father, for the ways that we have forsaken you, forgotten you, and walked after the ways of the world and not after you. Forgive us for that, O God. We really need you. We really do. And I just thank you this morning, Father, for this freedom that we have to come into church. And thank you for everybody that's come. And I thank you for this special day that it is, because we're going to baptize a bunch of folks down at the river in just a little while. I thank you for each one of them, Father, that is making public declaration today that I am a follower of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, I pray that your Spirit would touch us and speak to our hearts, even now, throughout our lunchtime and down at the river. Your Spirit would just speak to hearts. I just praise you, Lord, for your love for us. And as the Bible says, and while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. I praise you for that, Heavenly Father. And we do pray for the names on the prayer float, because, Father, there are many. And there are many more that could have been there. The devastating storm that swept through Minnesota just these last few days and wiped out power to tens of thousands. And perhaps there was casualties or hurt, Father. There are many things that we want to lift up to you that are some on the list and some did not make the list. But we pray, Almighty God, that you would intervene in miraculous ways in people's hearts and lives, that you would heal the sick, that you would save the lost, that you would give sight to the blind, that you would set the captives free, that you would heal and restore marriages, that you would strengthen our young people, that you would raise up new leaders, church leaders and government leaders and policemen and teachers and all the rest out of our children, out of our young people. They would be passionate followers of Jesus and used by you, O God, in everyday life. I pray for Catherine. Father, these next 2 or 3 weeks will be very difficult. I pray that you would go with her and Jess and Tim and watch over them and strengthen her body and keep her close to you, Father, we pray. I pray for the rest of the folks on our prayer list, Lord. Some are lonely. Some have cancer. Some have other difficulties. Some are lying in hospital beds. Some are lying in nursing home beds. And I pray, Almighty God, that you would speak to and minister to each and every one. I pray for people in jail this morning, Lord, and in the prisons of America, that you would touch them, that you would speak to their ears and speak to their hearts, and that they would know you and be radically transformed. And even though they may be not free because of the iron bars, they would be free in Christ. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for this celebratory Sunday we get to celebrate with others to be baptized. And I just pray you'd speak to our hearts and your Spirit would continue to guide and direct us while we've gathered here this morning. I just pray your will is done. And so have your own way, Lord. I pray it all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Are you excited today? That didn't sound very convincing. Apparently, you're not that excited. I'm excited every time I get to come to church, and I'm excited today because we get to go to the river later and baptize about a dozen people. I'm excited about that. Young and older and in between, I'm excited about that. I get excited to worship. I don't know about you, but I get excited to be here with you on Sunday mornings, and I get excited that people are worshiping in churches all over our nation. And I just think there's so much to be thankful for, and there's so much to have joy over. And today I have great joy for the dozen people that want to be baptized, but I have great joy for all of you that have come to worship. And I just hope that you get excited to worship the Lord. Sometimes when I look at faces, I'm not so sure you're very excited about that. And I know life gets hard, I know life gets heavy, and I know problems arise and difficulties exist, I know that. But we serve a God in heaven that's real. Amen? We serve a God in heaven that loves you and loves all of humanity and has sent His Son to die on the cross for us. That's exciting to me that I didn't have to die in my sin, because God sent His Son to die for us. That brings me great joy and hope. And so to be able to worship on Sunday mornings with you, it's exciting to me, and I hope and pray that you know the joy and the love and the peace and the patience, all those fruits of the Spirit that God wants to give you. I hope that you enjoy those because you've been in love with Jesus. Today we're going to talk about baptism because it's Baptism Sunday. And I know that the topic of baptism is not new to any of you, and perhaps some of you know more about the topic than I do. But as long as we only get together to go to the river once per year, I like to talk about baptism on this day. And one of my aims this morning is to help us understand a little bit more about what baptism is and what baptism isn't. And so I hope to do that this morning. And so today, as we prepare to go down to the river and have a really blessed time down there, I want to look at some scripture. So if you'll turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3, we're going to be at Matthew chapter 3 first. Just look at some scripture there and then a couple of other scriptures. Let me say this while you're turning there. I hope that you're turning there. It is on the big screen, but I hope that you're turning there in your Bible so you can follow along. But let me just say this about the river today. The river is higher than it normally would be in July. Quite a bit higher. That's a good thing when it comes to baptizing, but typically after we get done with baptism, there's lots of children and they're excited and they head out into the river and get wet and have fun. I'm just asking you parents, keep a close eye today because the river's a lot higher than normal. We won't let your children go floating down the river when we baptize them. Even adults, we won't push you off and let you go. It's not that strong, but I do want to advise parents. I've been down there several times this week, and just know that it's higher than normal and the current is swifter than normal. So please be aware of that. Please be aware of that. Several years ago, when I was about to baptize a young lady, she was a little, let's say, anxious. And I told some of you this before, I know that, but she was a little anxious about the water, the river, the whole gamut. And her grandma, who was her encourager, because she was coming to church with her grandma. Her grandma was fielding questions from this young lady, and so grandma was trying to calm her down. And they got to the point, well, what about going under the water? And grandma said, he'll only hold you down for a couple of minutes. Then he'll get you back up. So that helped her. That really helped. We won't hold you down for a couple of minutes, those of you that are being baptized today. But baptism is a wonderful expression to those at large, us in the church, and those that will come and join us, or floaters by in tubes or anything else. Baptism is a wonderful expression of an inward decision made by the people that are going to be baptized today. Perhaps it was just recently, or perhaps it was many years ago, but everyone that is being baptized today is simply expressing to you, I have chosen Jesus. I want Christ in my life. I've repented of my sin and I want Christ in my life. And today in their expression of baptism to you that will come, they're simply saying to you, I am a Christian, which means Christ follower. And so, that's what we're going to go down to do. Celebrate with them and baptize about a dozen folks today. Matthew chapter 3, here we go. In those days, John the Baptist, you've all heard of John the Baptist, right? Somebody give me a witness. Amen? Okay. I don't want to leave anybody in the dark. I think you've heard of John the Baptist. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying to the crowds that were there, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." In other words, get ready. He didn't call him by name yet, but he said, get ready because Jesus is coming. The kingdom of heaven is finally here. And John was at the River Jordan and he's saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. And the Bible says, Matthew writes, "For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." That's John the Baptist. John the baptizer, the town crier, if you will, the announcer to Jesus. And he was telling the countryside, get ready because the kingdom of heaven is here. And he said, while you're getting ready, repent of your sins and be baptized. And so, verse 4 says, "Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins." One of the things that I like to talk to kids about, especially because adults know a little bit more about these big words, but I like to talk to younger people, and we have some younger people today that are going to be baptized. I like to talk to them about what baptism means to you. And when I think of the Masons and the Annabellas, who are young children, but I talk to them and they have a solid understanding of what confessing sins means and inviting Christ into their life. That's exciting to me. For little children to have that understanding of knowing, I need a Savior. I need Jesus. And so, and our teenagers too. We've got several teens that will be baptized today. It's exciting to me for these young people to make that public declaration. I know Christ and I want to follow Him and I want to be baptized. And so, I get excited when I talk to them about what does it mean to confess your sins? What does baptism mean to you? And I hear their answers. I just get so encouraged by these folks. Verse 13, "Then Jesus came from Galilee." Jesus now has come onto the scene. John has been baptizing at the River Jordan for a while. Jesus now enters the scene. "Then Jesus came from Galilee to John the Baptist at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me?' But Jesus answered and said to him, 'Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.'" That's what Jesus said to John. "For thus it is fitting for us," John and Jesus, "to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up, it says, that's up out of the water, immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So you've got the Father, you've got the Son, and you've got the Holy Spirit all right there. Jesus, the Son of God, being baptized. The Spirit of God coming down as the heavens opened up, and as a dove perhaps sitting on the shoulder of Jesus, and the voice of God that says, "This is my Son." Hallelujah. Now, John the Baptist was calling people to repent of sin. Little news flash for us. We're all sinners. Okay? We knew that though, right? The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So we're all in that category. And so John the Baptist was inviting people to repent, which means turn away from your sin. He was inviting people to acknowledge and repent of that sin. Turn away from it. And so John was calling people to do that, and they were in fact acknowledging the fact that they were sinful, and they were repentant, and they were being baptized. I mention that because that is not why Jesus was baptized. He was not sinful. He was the Son of God. And the Bible later says, Him who was without sin. That's Jesus. And so John was inviting them to be baptized that day. Because of sin, Jesus was being baptized that day per his words when he said, It is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. He wasn't being baptized because he had to confess and acknowledge sin. That was everybody else's role. And so, why do we baptize? I want to talk about that just for a minute or two. I also want to say, does the act of being immersed, we're going down to the river today, we call that immersion. Some people maybe have been baptized by sprinkling or pouring, whatever the case may be. But I want us to think about for a moment, does the act of being immersed, sprinkled, or poured save one's soul? And I'll answer that for you, in case you're wondering. It isn't the water, brothers and sisters, that saves. There are a lot of scriptures that talk to us about being saved. I like Romans 10:9 that says, If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart the Lord Jesus and that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And I like Ephesians 2:8-9 that says, For by grace are you saved through faith. It is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. And so the Bible is clear how we are saved. It's not by water. I want us to be clear about that simply because I don't want you to put your faith in water. We go down to the river and we enjoy a special occasion in baptizing our brothers and sisters today, but they're getting baptized to show you of their faith. And so, Romans 10:9, Ephesians 2:8-9, John 3:16, John 1:14, you can see lots of verses about how we are saved by the grace of God and our faith in the Son of God. It isn't the ingredient of water that does the saving. That is an outward expression of an inward decision of your faith. That's what baptism is. Why do we baptize? Because Jesus instructed us to. Do you remember in Matthew 28:19? Do you remember the Great Commission? Do you remember what He said? Go therefore and make disciples. He's talking to His current apostles and disciples, and He's telling them, go and make more disciples of all nations, and then baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so we notice the instruction of Jesus here, and we notice the progression of events. Make disciples, introduce them to Christ, introduce them to who He is, the Son of God, show them a need for Him, and as they become disciples, then baptize them, He said. And so why do we baptize? Because Jesus instructed the disciples and us to baptize when we have become disciples. In the book of Acts, we see numerous examples of people coming to faith in Christ and then being baptized. That's just the sequence of events in the whole of the New Testament. Come to faith in Christ, recognize I need Him, and then be baptized. Acts 2:38 says this. When they cried out, you can see it in the prior verse if you have your Bibles open to Acts 2:38. When they cried out to Peter after listening to his sermon that day on Pentecost, they said, What must we do? And Peter said, Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so we see that progression. Recognize a need for repentance and Christ as Lord, and be baptized. In Acts 8, there's another story that I like to share on Baptism Sunday. Acts 8, beginning at verse 26. It says, Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. That's one of the seven. You remember, he had the 12? Then they picked the seven. Philip is one of the seven. And now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, and he said, Arise and go towards the south along the road which goes down Jerusalem to Gaza. This is the desert. And so the Bible says, Philip arose, and he went. And behold, there was a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all of her treasury, that's the queen, he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And so here's this Ethiopian man who was in charge of the Queen of Ethiopia's treasury. She had been in Jerusalem. He's a Gentile, remember. He's an Ethiopian. He is in fact a black man, because he had been to Jerusalem to worship. And so the angel of God said to Philip, run up near that chariot and overtake it. And so Philip ran to him, and Philip heard him, that's the Ethiopian man, reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, this is Philip to the Ethiopian, do you understand what you're reading? Now it was rare that people would have their own scrolls, and so this being a very important man to the Queen of Ethiopia, apparently had his own scroll. We call it a Bible. They had a scroll. But apparently he had a chunk of scripture that was his own, and as his chariot carried him back to Ethiopia where he had come from, he was reading from the book of Isaiah, and Philip comes alongside him and said, do you understand what you're reading? The Ethiopian man said to him, how can I understand unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. And the place in the scripture which he was reading was this. It said, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. Remember the scripture? Remember who it's pointing to? Work with me here, friends. This means yes. Don't go to sleep on me. We're not quite done. Isaiah's scripture talked about the coming Jesus when he said, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he, that's Jesus, didn't open his mouth even. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. The prophet Isaiah wrote that 650 years before Christ. The Ethiopian man was reading this scripture wondering, who in the world is he talking about? And so the Ethiopian man said to Philip, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or somebody else? That opened the door for Philip to present to him the gospel. You know what the gospel is, friends? The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. When we go love our neighbors, or when missionaries, like was here last Sunday, goes to Africa, we go to share the gospel. And Philip, now with the question from the Ethiopian man, when he said, who's he talking about? It gave Philip the chance to share with him the gospel of Jesus. And the Bible says, then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at this scripture, he preached Jesus. You see, brothers and sisters, that's what life really is all about. Jesus. You see, Jesus is the way we get to heaven. Jesus is the one that died on the cross for our sin. He's the only one, by the way. Jesus is the one that is God, the Bible says, in the beginning, in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is God. Jesus is Savior. Jesus died on the cross for us. And at this point, Philip could share with him, Jesus, whom Isaiah was talking about 600 years ago, has fulfilled this prophecy. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb before its shearers doesn't open his mouth. He didn't either. He was talking about Jesus. And when Philip could expound on the Gospels and bring into the equation Jesus, they were going down the road, and he was preaching to him Christ, and they came to some water, and the Ethiopian man said to him, see, here is some water. What hinders me now from being baptized? Why would he say that? Because at the time when the Jewish people of that time, they would go into the Gentile world and they would try to win a convert to Judaism. And if they could get anybody to take the bait and bite and maybe come along and do this whole litany and process of things, the last step in that process for the Gentile convert to become a Jew was baptism. And so it was perfectly natural for this man to say, "What hinders me from being baptized?" Because in his mind, he had arrived hearing this new information. In his mind, he had arrived at that place he could be baptized and brought into Judaism. But when he expounded, when Philip told him about Christ, and he said, "What hinders me from being baptized?" Instead of being converted into Judaism, he was being converted to Christ, to Christianity. And so he said to him, the Ethiopian man, after he learned all about Jesus, said, "What hinders me from being baptized?" And that's what, in essence, the young people and the older people and the children that are going to be baptized today have said. What hinders me from being baptized? And because they have put their faith in Christ, the answer is nothing. It's time. It's time to be baptized. And so, the story goes on. I'll wrap it up here. Our time is fleeting away. The story goes on. Philip said to him, "If you believe..." If you believe in Christ as the Savior of humanity, if you believe He died for your sins, if you believe with all your heart, you may be baptized, Philip said. And he answered, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And so they commanded the chariot to stop, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Hallelujah! All in one day. It happened a lot that way in the New Testament. Acknowledge Christ as Lord and be baptized the same day. It happened a lot that way in the New Testament. And maybe it'll happen again today. There are people that are prepared to be baptized because they have given their life to Christ. They say, "I want to follow Jesus." And so we're going to baptize them. But maybe God in His Spirit is speaking to somebody else today. And maybe your ear is attentive to the Holy Spirit of God that says, "I love you. Jesus died for you. And Jesus is the only way to heaven. You've got to acknowledge Him as Lord and Savior of your life if you ever want to be part of the kingdom of God." Maybe you're hearing that from the Spirit today. And maybe you will be like the Ethiopian person that come upon water. And maybe as you listen to the voice of God and respond to the voice of God and says, "Yes, Lord, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. I need a Savior. Please save me and forgive me. Jesus, come into my life." Then you could be with us at the river and ask the same question. "Is there anything that hinders me from being baptized?" And the answer is no. Come on into the river and be baptized. Maybe it'll happen today. And so, I'm going to just wrap up with this today by saying this. Was everybody baptized in the Bible? We've got very clear indication in Acts that over and over and over, when people recognize Christ as their Savior, they were baptized. However, we also know that when Jesus was hanging there on the cross, there were two other guys with him. Remember the story? And one of them, in his heart, recognized that Christ was the Messiah. And he said very simply, "Lord, remember me today when you come into your kingdom." Remember what Jesus said? "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." He didn't have a chance to get baptized. He didn't have the opportunity. He died on the cross, and Jesus took him to glory. And so, was everybody baptized? I guess he wasn't. I don't know if everybody else was or not. We see lots of examples where they come to know Christ and were baptized. That was the progression in the New Testament. That's why we do what we do today. Does water save you? No. Your faith in Jesus Christ and the shed blood of Jesus and the grace of God is what saves us. So why do we baptize? To show the rest of the world, "I want to follow Jesus. I've acknowledged Christ as my Savior. I've repented of my sin. And I want to show you by being baptized. And so it's really a very special occasion. Jess, let's go ahead and get ready to sing our last song. It's really a very special occasion, friends. And so I just want to encourage you, as Richard already said, if you come and join us for lunch, it's going to be prepared. It's ready now. You say, well, I didn't bring nothing. That's okay. We'll have lunch together. And then when lunch is done, probably in an hour, 75 minutes from now, whenever, we're going to move our way across the highways here. We're going to have to go right down here and go into Bricks and come around down to the public access, to the landing right down there. And that's where we're going to baptize folks. And so we're inviting you to come. Come have lunch with us. Come to the baptism and celebrate with these that have said, I want to follow Jesus and I want to show you by being baptized today. And if you're here today and you're hearing from the Spirit of God and know it's time to say, yes, Lord, come into my life, take over, save me, forgive me, and be my Savior. If that's you today, you come with us down to the river and you be baptized too. Going to have some answers, questions down there I'm going to ask you, but you'll fit right in. You know what? Jesus said a long time ago, if you will not acknowledge me before men, that's what people are going to do today. Jesus said, if you will not acknowledge me before men, I'll not acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. Someday we're all going to stand before God. And He's either going to say to us, welcome into the joy of the Lord, faithful servant, or He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. And He's going to say that based on, not if we were baptized, based on what we did with Jesus. Have we trusted Him as Lord? Have we believed He is the Savior of the world? Have we received Him as Savior of our lives? That's what God will base our entrance into heaven on. And so if you're here today and you're not sure you've been born again, you're here today, you're not sure your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and you're ready for heaven, get right with God today. Just pray, just talk to Him and say, forgive me, come into my life, save me, heal me, set me on a new path, and then come down to the river and let's baptize you. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the gift of salvation to each and every person that will invite You into our lives. Thank You for the shed blood of Jesus that took care of sin once and for all. All we have to do is repent and invite Christ to come in and be Lord of our lives, believing He's the Savior of humanity, believing He's my Savior. Thank You, Father, for this opportunity to be Your children walking with Jesus. Thank You for those that have said, yes, I want to be baptized today. There may be more, Father God, there may be more that You're speaking to today that said, and You're saying to their heart, what are you waiting for? Acknowledge Christ as Lord, receive Him as Savior, and be baptized today. And so, Father, if that's the case, I pray that You'd continue to speak to their hearts and that they would acknowledge You as Lord and Savior, recognizing that eternity depends on what we do with Jesus. And so thank You for everyone here. Thank You for the food that has been prepared. Bless it to our bodies. Bless our fellowship together. Bless the time down at the river as we celebrate with individuals in baptism. Go with us now, I pray, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.